Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. And then verse 3 says this, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, in order to teach you. In order to teach you. This is what he wanted to teach them. In order to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. To teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. This is a verse that you might recognize from when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the enemy, by the devil. And he used Deuteronomy 8:3 when the devil was trying to get him to turn some rocks into bread. Remember this? The devil had said, hey, turn these rocks into bread. I know you're really hungry. You've been fasting for a long time. And Jesus quotes this, no, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so as we think on this passage, I want you to think about this. Hunger is related to humbleness. And I say that because it says that God humbled them. He humbled them, causing them to hunger. He humbled them, causing them to hunger. And that is when he could teach them this lesson about how man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Because hunger, if you think about it, has to do with need. You need something. It has to do with a weakness. Has to do with incompleteness. I won't be complete in a sense until I have a meal. And so hunger is related to humility. It's a humbling thing to be hungry. You know, we look around the world and you think about all of the people around this world that are in poverty, are in hunger, and it's a very, very humbling thing because we're not able to provide for their own needs, not able to provide for their children sometimes. It's very humbling to be in need, to be in weakness, to be incomplete, to be hungry. And so God used the hunger of the Israelites in the desert in order to humble them, in order to teach them this important lesson that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And when I read that at first, I don't know if that exactly makes sense to me. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. What's he talking about? I mean, these guys are just hungry. They're in the middle of the desert, and they have nothing to eat. And so God provides them this manna that comes down, and they can go out and they can pick it up. It's a miracle. There have been a lot of naturalistic type of explanations for what this bread was and all, but nothing really adds up, in a sense. There's nothing in nature that's the same as what the Israelites experienced. It was a miracle. It was God's provision. He gave them this bread from heaven. They called it, what is it? Which is what the word manna means. What is it? Because they'd never seen anything like it. I'm looking at my notes and everything's out of order. This is what God is trying to teach them. Physical hunger reminds us of our greater hunger. Physical hunger reminds you of your greater hunger. Here's a blessing that God has given you. You get hungry off and on all day. It's a blessing, actually. You get hungry off and on all day. And every time you do, God wants to remind you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Because, you know, I tend to think that, man, if I just get a meal, then that will keep me alive, in a sense. You know, if I get another meal, then that's what provides me life. Because Because we know this. I mean, you have to eat in order to live, right? God isn't saying that, hey, your bread, your daily meal is worthless. But this is what he wants you to know. That's not where your life is. Even though you need it in order to stay alive, that's not where your life is. Your physical hunger is a reminder of a greater hunger that you have, because you don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Does that make sense? Do you guys follow what I'm saying? All right. We can go to the next passage. We're going to look at a couple of different passages and explore these and think about what God has to teach us about hunger. The next one is in Luke chapter 1, verse 53. I got to reading this at Christmas time because it comes right before, you know, what we typically read at Christmas about the shepherds and all of that. But this is a part out of Mary's song that she sings or she prays after she finds out that she's going to bear the Messiah. And she says this in verse 53 of chapter 1, "He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." Filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Basically, she's just quoting Psalm 107. If you turn over to Psalm 107, Psalm 107 verses, 4 through 9 is what I wrote down, but it's one verse in particular here. Verse 9 of Psalm 107 says, "For he satisfies the hungry, or satisfies the thirsty, and fills the hungry with good things." And that's basically what Mary is saying here in verse 53. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. Mary actually is a good example to us, because in this whole song, this whole thing that she recites before the Lord, most of it is right out of the Word. This is a good example to us, because when we want to go to God in prayer, when we want to go to Him in praise and in worship, the best way to do that is just to speak back to Him what He has already said. That's what Mary's doing here when she says, "He has filled the hungry with good things." She knows this because God has said this. He's told her this. "Filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." Sent the rich away empty. Did you know it's possible to be well fed, but to still be empty? It's possible to be well fed, but to still be empty. That's what she's getting at in this passage. Because a lot of times in the Bible, whenever it says rich, it has the idea of those who think of themselves as self-sufficient. You know, I have a lot of stuff. In the Bible, maybe I have a whole bunch of sheep, and I got a lot of horses. I got a lot of oxen and cattle, and I got everything I need. I'm self-sufficient. A lot of us sometimes have a tendency to feel that exact same way. You know, I got my car, I got my house, I got a decent bank account, I got a good job. I'm doing good. I'm providing for myself. That gets us into that rich mindset, that self-sufficient mindset. A lot of times in the Bible, rich can mean proud. They're different concepts, rich and proud, but they go together. That's why Jesus says it's so hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom, because we think of ourselves as our own provider. We think of ourselves as self-sufficient. I have everything I need. And if I don't have everything that I need, I can go and get it. I can go and buy it. Mary says, "He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." Sent the rich away empty. God meets the needs of the hungry. You can count on this. He says this over and over again in His Word. He meets the needs of the hungry. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. Sent the rich away empty. God God meets the needs of the hungry. Let's go to another verse. We have two more to look at here, and then we'll put it all together. We've got Luke chapter 6, verse 21. This is in the middle of the Beatitudes. Luke's account of the Beatitudes. Starting at verse 20 in chapter 6 of Luke, it says, looking at his disciples, Jesus said this, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." And he goes on from there. But of course, I want to talk about the one where he says, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied." Blessed are you who hunger now. Who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Here's an important thing to remember about the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are not conditions for entering the kingdom. The Beatitudes are blessings available to kingdom citizens. A lot of times when we think about the Beatitudes, like blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God, we teach them and we preach them as if you got to be poor in order to come into the kingdom. You have to recognize your poorness. You have to recognize your hunger. You have to be mournful of your sin right now and all of these various things that Jesus teaches on in the Beatitudes. Those are not conditions for coming into the kingdom. You know what the condition for coming into the kingdom is? It's faith in Christ. We serve a God of grace, and the condition for being his child is believing in Jesus, believing in him. We trust him. We trust that his sacrifice was enough. We trust that by placing our faith in him, we step into the kingdom. We step into his family. And that's the only condition that there is. And then when we have done so, when we have placed our faith in Christ, then Jesus says this, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied." This is a blessing available to you who have placed your faith in Christ. You can be satisfied, you who are hungry now. What's he getting at here? Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Here's the truth. This is not a pretty truth, but here's the truth. Not all Christians are hungry Christians. Not all Christians are hungry Christians. Not everybody in this room today is a Christian. And of the Christians who are in this room, not all of you are hungry Christians. Sometimes, as a believer, I begin to myself think of myself more in the rich category. I feel like I know my Bible pretty well. I know the Lord pretty well. I feel like I can almost anticipate what he might do next. And I'm not hungry for him like I used to be. I'm not hungry in the same way where I feel that desperateness, like what you mentioned earlier. Like I need him every hour. Yeah, I think I'm doing okay. I think I'll probably make it through the end of the day, whether I have the Lord with me or not. It's very, very tempting in our society because so much about what we do is to provide for ourselves, to look out for number one, right? And the truth is that not all Christians are hungry Christians, but all of us are called to be. Jesus says, "Blessed are you if you hunger now." Hunger for what? Over in Matthew, he says, to hunger for righteousness. We're called to hunger for the word, to hunger for the Lord, to hunger for fellowship with his church, to be hungry for him. Not all of us are hungry, but all of us are called to be. One other to look at is Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verses 8 to 10. Psalm 34, verses 8 to 10. Let me read it to you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Once again, another passage about not lacking any good thing. God has filled the hungry with good things. And here it says, those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. A couple of things to think about here. Number one, in the Bible, taste is usually a metaphor for personal experience. If you flip over to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, I believe it is, you'll see what I mean. Hebrews 2:9 says this, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. That he might taste death. That's getting kind of loud. That he might taste death for everyone. What does that mean? Taste death. It means he experienced death so that you and I don't have to. He tasted death for you, and he tasted it for me so that I don't have to. It's a metaphor for personal experience. If I were to bring you a piece of candy and say, hey, taste this, what are you going to do? Eat it. Yeah, you're going to put it in your mouth. You're going to like kind of savor the flavor for a minute, try to get the taste, especially if I said, hey, taste this. I can't figure out what flavor this is. You'd be like, I don't know, maybe cherry? I don't know. What was that? It's watermelon. I was wrong. But taste it. You have to experience it personally. If I were to give you a piece of candy, you put it in your mouth. If I say, taste and see that the Lord is good, what do? I'm calling you to experience him. I'm calling you to put your faith in him and trust him with your next few steps. To see if he's good. To see if he's your provider. To see if he will do what he says. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. There's a direct correlation in Scripture between hungering, being hungry, and then seeking, and then finding. There's a direct correlation there. Those who hunger, seek. And those who seek, find in Scripture. God is not really the type of God that plays the hiding game. He says, if you seek me with your heart, then you will find me. It's a promise. And I know that there are times where we don't know where the Lord is. Even like when David prayed, he said, where are you? It doesn't mean that he's gone, but David's doing the right thing. He's seeking. And usually by the end of those Psalms, he says, and I found him. Not everyone, because there are times of dryness and wilderness. But when we seek him, we find him. And that's what he says here in Psalm 34. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. He doesn't keep it from us. He doesn't hide. He doesn't stay away forever. The hungry find our God to be good. This is one of the reasons that you want to be a hungry Christian. Because the hungry find our God to be good. I have had serious, serious times in my life that I doubted whether or not God was good. I mean serious. I mean shedding tears serious. I didn't know if he was good or not. Maybe you've been there as well. There are seasons we go through where it's like everything fell apart, and then when it couldn't get any worse, it did. And you just think, How can God be good? And in that situation, I lost my hunger. But when I found it, I found God to be good, because He is. The hungry find our God to be good, and those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. It doesn't mean that everything is rosy and that everything always turns out the way you want or the way I want, but you don't have any lack if you have the Lord. You're not missing anything. You're not incomplete when you have Him. When you're hungry for Him, you find that He is good. All right, we're gonna wrap it up. I've got just three applications, three things to kind of send you away with today, three things to think about. Oh, but before we do, I forgot about this. That's why I kept the clicker, so I'd remember what I wanted to say. We'll come back to what I said earlier. We live in a society that is good at developing hunger. We talked about that, right? But it's a hunger that is opposed to seeking God. The kind of hunger that our world wants to develop in you is a hunger that will keep you from seeking God. Because it makes you hungry for everything else except Him. Hungry for a new car, hungry for a new job, hungry for a new wife. It's a hunger that is opposed to seeking God. And so that leads me into applications. Here's three things I want you to think about, to ask yourself this week as we get ready to go into 2019. Ask yourself, what is my greatest hunger? Or another way to ask it is, what did I really want for Christmas this year? Maybe you didn't think about it, what you really wanted. Did anybody else watch The Christmas Chronicles on Netflix? Anybody else? A couple? Not nearly as many as I thought. Well, anyway, it's a brief story, but in The Christmas Chronicles, Santa Claus is able to actually... he knows what people want for Christmas, and there's this one cop. I forget his name, it doesn't matter, but there's this scene where Santa just magically pulls out all these different toys that this guy had wanted when he was a kid, and he says, this is what you wanted when you were 6, and when you were 7, when you were 8, and all of that. But he says, but I know what you want this year. And the cop is like, you can't know what I really want for Christmas. Maybe he hadn't even thought about it. But what he wanted was his ex-wife back. His wife had left him a couple years ago or whatever. And so he says, Lisa. That's who he wanted. That's what he wanted for Christmas. He wanted his wife back. What is it that you really wanted for Christmas this year? Maybe you got it, maybe you didn't. I don't know. Maybe you wanted a toy, maybe you wanted a PlayStation, maybe you wanted a phone, maybe you wanted a new job. But think about that desire that you had for whatever that thing is. And then let me ask you this question. What would your 2019 look like if the Lord became my greatest hunger, became your greatest hunger? What if seeking Him became my top desire for this next year? I'm not really into making New Year's resolutions because I'm never good at keeping them for more than like 2 weeks or whatever. But seriously, what would your year look like if seeking the Lord, if a hunger for Him became number one on your list? How would that change your serving? How would it change your Bible reading? How would it change certain relationships that you have, if a real hunger for Him were top on your list? Earlier I said that not all Christians are hungry Christians. I'll be really candid with you for a moment. I really, really wish that I could make other people Christians. I really, really wish that I could do that. But sometimes, even more, I really wish that I could make Christians into hungry Christians. That's what I really wish. If I could do that, then I would be like the miracle pastor. Because I could say, hey, here you go. You're now a hungry Christian. I can't make you a Christian. Only God can do that. And I can't make you a hungry Christian. That's something between you and the Lord. And so ask yourself this. What would your 2019 look like if a hunger for him were top on your list? And then here's the last thing. I want you to talk to him about this. I want you to talk to him about this week. We're gonna sing a song here in just a few minutes, and you can talk to him during that song. But if you're like me, I get to about the middle of my Sunday afternoon, and I totally forget what the preacher said. I forget what the message was about half the time. And honestly, I'm the guy preaching it, and I might forget a little bit later today. But I have a lot of people that I meet with throughout the week, and I tend to put an appointment in my phone, like if I need to call somebody or if somebody's going to be stopping by, because I don't want to forget about it. And I would challenge you, we serve a God who's a person. He's a person just like anybody else. Well, no, not just like anybody else, but he's a person every bit as much as anybody else in this room. And you can make an appointment with him, maybe for tomorrow after lunch, maybe for Wednesday morning, whenever. Make a couple appointments throughout the week, but ask him about this. Ask him about your hunger for him. Ask him about your seeking for him. Put something in your phone, or maybe there's another way for you to make an appointment with him. Remind yourself, because I'm a forgetful person. Probably you're a forgetful person, and we go through our week and we forget. Multiple times throughout the day, today, tomorrow, and the next day, you're going to get hungry. And you're going to say, I need to have a piece of bread. I need to have a piece of pumpkin pie. I need to eat a candy cane. Or whatever. It's a reminder that you have a greater hunger. A hunger for the Lord. And we need to talk to him about that. Because I can't make you hungry. And you can't make yourself hungry. But God can. So that's my challenge for you. Talk to him about it.